720 WGN, John Landecker starting off with a little moment there from the film Love Actually with Hugh Grant playing the part of the British Prime Minister, and a iconic scene, of course, that you would only know if you've seen the movie. But I took a chance because on my TikTok feed today, they were like, every other swipe was some guy attempting to do what he did in the film, the dance that he did to that song. Well, that's enough of that, John. Thank you so much for explaining. Oh, anytime. 11 minutes after 7 o'clock, and now we turn to the author portion of our program, where we enjoy inviting scribes who have scribed new tomes of advice and learning that they would care to impart to us in the whatever they have written. And tonight's author here in the Cromie Circle is there's an inside one, man. Steve Dale, author, as they say. Author.
Yep.
How are you?
Yep. I'm good. Thank you very much. I love that intro, and at the very, very beginning, we heard, of course, the Pointer Sisters.
Yes.
Which brings me back to playing them. Anita, Ruth, and June.
Pointer.
Yeah, those are the Pointers. Yeah, yeah.
Yes.
How I remember that, or why I remember that, I can't tell you. But well, I do.
They were popular. No, they were popular. You can remember the name of the Pointer Sisters. I mean, they were sisters.
And they pointed a lot. Yes.
Have you seen the movie Love Actually?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, it's been a while, but yes.
Yeah, actually.
I have.
Yes. Yeah. All right. So that's why I played that little clip. Now, are we going to talk about
why did I write the book, you ask?
What book is this?
Yeah, it's called Ask the Dog, and it's a kid's book. So here's what motivated me to do it, and it's a true story. I was just walking down the street one day. I had our little dog with us, who was then maybe about 16 years old. Dog is just sniffing at the grass. And this lady, we live in a neighborhood where there are tons of dogs. This lady is next to us with her middle-sized dog, and our dog's paying no attention one way or the other to her dog. I'm not paying attention to her dog. And then she looks at, or to her, and she looks at me and says, aren't you going to pet my dog? And I looked at the dog, and I said, no, thank you. And she walked away in a huff. Now, or maybe she walked away in a minute and a huff. Now, the reason why I did not pet her dog, and there is a reason. The dog was stretching to the other end of the leash, did not look at me, clearly, from my perspective, did not want to interact with me. Now, a lot of people would have gone ahead and pet the dog and talked to the dog. The dog maybe doesn't like strangers. I really don't know, and we'll never know, why this dog didn't really want to. And maybe it was stretching to the other end of the leash, and home was in that direction, and the dog was hungry. I will have no way ever to know. She was offended by that, but I thought, you know what? This is something I have to write about, because we're taught appropriately to ask, can I pet your dog? And that's the right thing to do. However, sometimes the dogs are saying, no, I don't want to interact right now. We need to not only ask the person, we need to ask the dog. And I wrote a kid's book about this because most dog bites, and by the way, dog bites are up in record numbers. So most dog bites happen to kids, and most dog bites, any expert anywhere will tell you, are preventable. One way we can prevent those bites, whether they be with a dog we've never met before on the street or our own dog at home, is to pay attention to what the dog is saying to us. Dogs are always, and I do mean always, communicating with us. Even the dog who's sleeping by your side right now is communicating, believe it or not, by the way the dog is laying down. Is the dog comfortable? Is the dog on its side? Is the dog laying on its stomach? The dog is sprawled out, perhaps, and the dog then is communicating, I'm too hot. Possibly, I guess, in this weather, it's unlikely. But the dog, any dog, all dogs are always communicating with us. And we need to pay attention to what they're telling us.
Sounds good to me.
And that's really why I wrote the book.
Right.
You know, the goal is, so kids in particular, but I figure, okay, adults are going to read the book to kids in some cases. And adults need to, we all need to pay better attention to what the dog is saying. So
well, wait a minute. What you're saying, what the dog is saying, it's also, if I'm correct, the signals the dog is sending out, if you can visually have the knowledge to recognize them, right?
Oh, totally.
I mean,
right.
Yeah.
I mean, the dog isn't telling us, "Oh, I don't feel good today."
I know, but I mean, I think it's a great idea for everybody to know that, you know, just to recognize the posture of the animal or whatever it was you were mentioning, that it's communicating something. It's not just being an animal.
Oh, yeah. I mean, yeah. Dogs are always signaling something. So a dog that yawns, as one example, that's what we call, people who do what I do, a stress signal. It could mean the dog is tired, but it is actually a stress signal. A dog, I won't pet a dog that licks its lips. Now, it could be the dog just had a hot dog or some peanut butter. But that is actually also, if that hasn't happened and the dog didn't just have peanut butter, that's a stress signal. And I can give you many of these. And we clearly, most of us, understand that if a dog is growling in our face, you keep away. But many of these communication signals are much more subtle than that.
And this book clears that up, I'm hoping.
I'm hoping, too. So
yeah.
Shelley Kohler is the lady that did the illustrations. They're wonderful. So the idea, there's a story. You know, this little girl is about 12 years old. Is that a little girl? Her name is, or 11. Her name is Morgan. And she's walking with her mom and their dog, Hazel, through a park. And they encounter a lot of other dogs. And mom is instructing her daughter, Morgan, as to how to pet the dogs, which dogs want to be pet, which dogs, no matter what the owner says. It just happened to me the other day. This lady, I swear to you, this happened. My wife was with me. We're walking up the street, and this lady, this dog, I said, "That is such a cute dog." And this lady said, "Why don't you go ahead and pet the dog?" And I said nothing, and I knew what this dog was going to do. And the dog went, ruff, 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 ruff. The dog, for whatever reason, didn't want to be petted. And you know what? The other thing I believe, and you probably have to break in a minute here for commercials, but the other thing I believe, John, very strongly about, that this book sends a message about that I've not seen in any of the books, isn't it true that dogs, yes, the dog may be hurting, the dog may be hungry, as I suggested earlier. There are many reasons why an individual dog at a particular time may not want to interact. Don't dogs, though, who are sentient beings with their own emotions, have the right, yes, right, to just say no?
Certainly.
Right.
Why should you do something against a dog's will if the dog don't want to do it? Right?
I agree. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
But I don't believe this has been talked about a lot.
Well, I'm hoping that it's talked about a lot in the book called Ask the Dog by Steve Dale. Is it available now?
No, and yes. So you can pre-order the book.
Okay.
You can go to the publisher's website. It's Belue Books, BEALU Books.com. And you can order the book through the website. You can get it by the holidays that way. It will soon, I don't know exactly when, in a couple of days, I believe, be available on Amazon and really everywhere else books are sold.
Good enough. More with Steve when we come back on 720 WGN. 720 WGN. Thanks for tuning in. John Landecker at 724. And that's the Call of the Wild. And answering the Call of the Wild is the very wild Steve Dale. Steve, you're back.
I am. Thank you very much.
You're very, very welcome. And shall we move to a topic that can be covered in like 5 minutes? Or do you have something else? Oh, no, wait. If you had something else that you wanted to add, go ahead.
Sure. Yeah. Well, part of the reason, again, why I did this book and I feel so strongly about this issue is truly dog bites are up. So since the pandemic, we have seen twice the number of fatal dog attacks as we've seen pre-pandemic. Now, there are many reasons for that, but again, if we pay attention to what dogs are telling us and understand they're always telling us something, maybe those numbers wouldn't be quite as high. And it's not only that, it's everywhere you look. And I'll tell you, if you're listening to this and you say, well, I don't care about dogs, that doesn't matter to me. Well, it should, because when dog bite numbers are up, that means more people are treated for dog bites, which is happening, which means our homeowners insurance is going to go up as a result of that. But I'm also concerned about other things. We've become a more dog-friendly society. Will that all kind of go backwards in reverse now? Are we going to look at breed-specific bans again? I hope not. I mean, we've been through all that. We understand they don't work. I'm talking about a community saying no pit bull dogs, no Rottweiler dogs, no Dobermans, and nothing like that. Well, they don't do a thing. We hopefully have understood that and learned that. But again, with these bite numbers being up and then severe bites, and I understand why, making the media, then that could go that route. And I don't want to see that happen. I am glad that right now in America, over 70% of households have at least one dog, which is wonderful. We've never had so many dogs, and that's a part of the issue, too. In part, it is a number game, but the number of bites and the number of significant bites overrepresents the percentage of the increase in the number of dogs. And also, according to the American Psychological Association, there have never been so many children with cynophobia, which is the fancy name for an irrational fear of dogs.
Specifically for dogs? They have a name like that for irrational fear of dogs? Interesting.
Yeah, and it's according to people who study this stuff, that's never been so high. On the pet show that I do, and you can hear the podcast at WGNradio.com, you can hear the author of a book on this very topic, talking about greatly how to help kids or adults who have fear of dogs, you know. So we don't want any of that, of course. That's not good for anyone, and most especially for dogs, right? I want to see more dogs adopted. I want to see more dogs in households, and I want to see happy families, because for most people, overwhelmingly, well over 90% of the people who have a dog consider that dog or their dogs. We also have more multi-dog homes than ever before. Consider those animals members of the family.
Absolutely.
So we want to see everything go well. So that is also a part of the reason why I wrote the book. And in the book, I describe also some subtle things to look for that you wouldn't necessarily know that are signs of stress in dogs. Mm-hmm. Dogs saying, maybe right now, don't interact with me. And I believe we need to respect that. I believe great grandma was right when she said things like, let sleeping dogs lie. All of those things are correct. And she said it just like that. So for the book and for information about the book, you can go to the website. You can pre-order the book as we speak. And that's Beaulieu, B-E-A-L-U, books.com. And if you are so inclined, you could pre-order the book and get the book, they tell me, by Christmas.
I hope so. Steve, thanks for being with us. Always good to hear from you, my friend.
Thank you for doing this. Thank you, John. I appreciate it.
No worries.